Are we ready?
Ready.
Okay. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Add This to Your List.
Woo! Hi.
Hi. Episode 97.
Wow.
I know, right? We're checking along. It's Fumi Simano joined by Mark J. Parker and Tom Chuba.
What's up, everyone?
Howdy.
How has everyone been? It's been a couple weeks since we recorded. Have you guys been doing okay?
Yeah, I guess so. As okay as we can. It's the world seems to be reopening, which we were just talking offline that's kind of still scary.
Yeah, but
it's very scary.
Yeah.
And, you know, our cases are kind of on. I just read right before getting on this recording that Florida reported a 35% increase in positive cases between Friday and Saturday. So between Friday and yesterday, a 35% jump.
They probably don't even care, though, right? They're just like, whatever.
Nah. Yeah.
Florida, man.
Get into the beach.
I know. It's as if the beach, like, is a drug. And everyone just needs to, like, feed their drug habit. I know. Yeah. Even up here, like, so many people not wearing masks. But luckily, I've been seeing some restaurants turn people away for not wearing.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know.
Yeah. How's LA film still lively, right?
Yeah, so they officially were able to reopen on June 12th. Restaurants and like clubs and bars, salons, gyms. Yeah. So you have to wear a mask. You have to wear a mask everywhere you go. But, I mean, with the protests and everything, people are out here. So they are flocked together. They're clustered together. And a lot
it's
of people aren't
for sure.
wearing masks. Some people are, but you can't social distance in a situation like that. So we'll see what's going to happen. We'll see.
Wow. Crazy.
But we have a good show today. We are really excited for the show. We're going to talk housekeeping and headlines, and then we'll get into our list. And then we've got a really exciting interview with two amazing, amazing queens from Drag Race.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
And Dragnificent. Dusty Ray Bottoms and Alexis Michelle. So we're so excited to talk to them.
So excited. We are loving them, and it's happy Pride, baby. If we can't be in person for Pride, we're going to have a virtual party.
That's I don't know, guys. I'm a little nervous that they're going to read us and throw some shade.
Ooh.
As only drag queens can do.
I'd be honored.
I would be too. I'd be like, yes, honey, throw the shade on
read me.
I'll talk it back, baby. But before we get into that, let's get into our headlines and housekeeping.
Yeah, lots to talk about.
Tom, what do you have for housekeeping?
Yep, so we had talked about that Chris Nolan was adamant about keeping a July date for Tenet. It was originally scheduled to come out to open up July 17th. He got his way, kind of, sort of. It's still going to open up in July, but the studio has bumped it back to July 31st.
So the last day of July.
Last day of July. He still got his way, but the studio's still saying, I don't know, Chris, this is still kind of a gamble.
And did you hear, he still got his way because on July 17th, Inception now will be in theaters. They're doing a 10th anniversary.
Oh,
so still, still some movie of his will be in theaters that weekend. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a sign that theaters are a little, you know, that the studio's a little nervous. A lot of theaters should be open by then, even in LA, which, I don't know, Fumi, explain. Are you guys under lockdown until August, or was that fake news?
I think initially that's what the decision was, but a lot of people were like, this is ridiculous, like, because then I would have been at that point like 5 months or 6 months for us. So they started to ease it in, so we're not under lockdown anymore.
Got it. Okay. So, in theory, San Francisco and LA theaters should be open, and New York theaters will be open by then. Hopefully, I think they're scheduled for phase two. I'm not quite sure when Manhattan is entering phase two, but as Mark had previously said, that's 25% of a movie's opening box office right there. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
And then Russell Crowe's Unhinged was supposed to come out the first week of July. That is now taken the July 10th spot. And the trailer is pretty good, actually. I just watched it this weekend.
Oh, yeah? Is it?
Yeah. It's a road rage movie, and I have road rage, so I'm like here for it.
I just think it's so interesting. They so badly want to be the first big movie in theaters. It's like,
yeah, I don't think it's going to be. I don't any know kind if of, that's like groundbreaker.
People aren't flocking to the theaters for Russell Crowe. Just saying. You know,
They ain't
shade. I mean, it's true. And also, people aren't flocking into the theaters because, like, everyone wants to, like, live a little bit. So yeah. I don't know if it's, like, so cool to be the first movie to open, to reopen theaters.
Right. Who decided that?
On? Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Mark, what do you got?
Okay, so I got some things to talk about. Obviously, we know the last few weeks have been super hard, not only because of COVID, but more importantly, or at least equally, I guess, because of all the great protesting, Black Lives Matter, all that. We've discussed that a little bit last episode. I thought this was really fascinating. Let's talk about it. Cops, the long-running old school TV show Cops, has been canceled by Paramount Network. It was originally on Fox for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And then it was
bad
on
Bad Boys.
Spike TV, which then became the Paramount Network. So they have officially canceled it. And Live PD has officially been canceled by A&E, which I
have never even heard of that show.
Neither had I. Not until all of this came down.
Wait, what? Neither of you had heard of Live PD?
Never.
No idea what it was.
Not a clue. But apparently it's very popular.
A lot of people do, though.
I know.
So.
My jaw is dropped. It is on the floor. That is a huge show.
I know.
Literally, is it really?
Astronomical ratings, apparently.
I have to say, I'm shocked Tom does not know. I just feel like your parents don't watch it. It's like what every parent watches. It's like, it's live.
That's funny.
It's like live, you know, police cameras throughout the whole country in different cities, different states, hosted by
Dan Abrams,
who used to be on ABC. It's a huge show. I've watched a little bit of it, like, in the background, and it's interesting. It's kind of cool. Sometimes it's boring, because, honestly, there's nothing going on. Wow.
But wasn't their downfall the fact that they filmed a black man being killed on camera, and then they destroyed the footage?
Yes.
Like, that's a no-no.
Exactly. So, yes, at the hands of, I believe, a white officer. I'm not sure where this was. I guess it was last year. A black man was pulled over and was killed by this cop. And A&E, because I don't know the ins and outs of the show, but I have heard that A&E works with the local police departments, of course, right? And so I guess if the police department does not want the footage to air, A&E has no choice but to not air it, which is interesting. And so it was a whole legal thing. And, yes, so they held that footage back, but it's obviously come out. And so, yeah, they have pulled the plug on Live PD. Dan Abrams even tweeted the night before he thought for sure it would keep going. It was picked up for, like, something crazy, like 160 more episodes. So it was going to go on for, like, years. And then the next day he was like, I am as shocked as you all are. I thought we were going to – to his credit, I think he really did think – because A&E had put it on pause, obviously, because of everything. So they said, let's put it on pause, let's figure it out. And I guess he really thought it was going to be figured out and, you know, going to be more progressive and, you know, not hold back. But, yeah, so canceled. Both canceled. Cops, I'm not surprised by. Are you guys? I feel like that show was very old school. Even the theme song feels like...
The theme song was about the cops. We didn't even realize. We thought it was about the bad boys, but it was about the cops.
Totally. You are so right, Boom. You are so right. Absolutely. Amen to that. So yeah. I'm not sad to see that go. Not that I'm really sad to see Live PD go, but I was shocked. Just because A&E, we know, is a great, legit network. And over the last couple of years, Live PD has become its only big show. I mean, talk about a network that constantly keeps changing.
Yeah.
Live PD was the breadwinner. So, yeah, that's canceled. And then I know, Foom, you want to talk about HBO Max. To segue over to you, HBO Max has pulled Gone with the Wind. So,
yeah.
Basically, if you are doing anything, you know, troublesome with race, guess what? You are canceled. Sorry, Lea Michele and Stassi and everyone else. Goodbye.
Yes.
Cancel culture is here.
It is here. Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to talk about HBO Max because last episode I said that they were winning in the streaming wars. But I've changed my mind, guys. I feel like they are a hot mess express. They still are not on Roku. They still are not on Amazon Fire. That's like 80 million subscribers that they still do not have access to.
Weird.
And now they made an announcement this past week that HBO Go is gone, and now HBO Now is going to be HBO, so that HBO Max stands alone. And it's like, what in the world? That wasn't the issue. The issue was you should have... If you have HBO and it's you're a subscriber to HBO on your cable, that's fine. If you have HBO Max, that's what you got. You can get rid of everything else, but HBO Max should be on all platforms.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not have access to, or how did you not figure that out before you launched to not be on Roku's?
I know. It is super strange. Roku's huge. Yes, exactly. Totally. But so, okay. Can you repeat the news? Because I'm still confused what app is what. So HBO Max obviously is a thing.
I think that's the point. At this point, I feel like they do that on purpose. Yeah, we're not even sure.
We just know that some changes were made.
Right, exactly. I think the point, like, they're laughing about this in a boardroom somewhere, I'm convinced. So HBO Go is no longer.
Wow, okay.
HBO Now is now going to just be HBO, and HBO Max will stand alone. Whatever that means.
And so, HBO Now was the one that you could pay for.
Yeah, that's HBO, what I have. I have HBO Now, so I don't have cable. I don't have a cable box.
Right.
So I pay for HBO Now as a subscription monthly.
Right.
I can cancel
it anytime. HBO Go you could use if you were already getting it through cable, right?
Okay. Exactly.
Correct. Me, that's what I use to watch it on my phone.
Yes.
Gotcha. Sorry, Tom. You can't use it, Nomo.
Well, that's the thing now. So
I'm
now the question
sure
is,
I can. Okay. Somehow, I just don't know what I use.
Subscribe to HBO. Right. Well, if you subscribe to HBO and HBO Go is gone, okay, so now will you use on your app HBO Now? Like, what is it?
I think now it's all about,
I'm
using the wrong word, but at this time, it's all about Max. So instead of using HBO Go, Tom, they're like, well, just use HBO Max. It's the same thing, but you have at least way more options as well, so...
And the one other thing I want to mention quickly with HBO before we move on is that they have, one of their selling points is that they had the DC catalog of all like the superheroes. And as of, I think, July, they're pulling a majority of the movies, but they own them. So why aren't they just living on the service?
It's weird. Do they want to do kind of like what Disney used to do with the whole vault thing? Do you think they want to just be like, oh, well, we'll let you know when these are back? Like,
that's silly, because otherwise, what do you have the streaming platform for where you're boasting about having 10,000 hours of programming if you're going to take things off? It makes no sense. So anyway, HBO Max, we like HBO, but y'all got to get it together.
Get it together, for real. Yeah, very confusing.
Now on to headlines. Mark, what do you got?
Okay, well, a little bit of good news that I wanted to tell everyone about. You might have already heard about it, and if you haven't, I'm happy to tell you that this little itty-bitty, well, I shouldn't say itty-bitty. I mean, it had a little bit of a budget. I haven't seen it yet, but this, low-budget indie horror film, The Wretched, has made over $1 million at the box office thanks to all the drive-ins out there that are playing it. The drive-in closest to me has not played it. I'd love to go see it and support it, but they're still playing, like, Onward or something. This little movie has, over the last few months, become one of the highest grossing films of the year, which is crazy to say, but it's all thanks to a great sold out drive-in showings. So I thought that was kind of cool that this little movie, thanks to COVID, is really finding success.
Trailer's kind of corny, though.
It seems like, I haven't seen it, but it does seem like it's kind of trying to be like a witchy version of like Stranger Things.
Exactly.
But, you know, I'm sure it's fine. Reviews are okay. It's not terrible, but I guess it's not amazing. I thought that was a nice little bit of good news that, you know, one good thing about COVID is this movie's finding an audience. And it's also online. You can also watch it, like, digitally as well. But it seems like a great drive-in movie. So I thought, there you go. That's some good news for us.
And I just quickly wanted to say Oscars is changing their initiatives. They're pushing back the 2021 show. Supposedly they're deciding,
I don't think they should do next week
if they're going to do that. But one other thing they're doing is they're expanding officially the Best Picture category to 10 films. Mm-hmm. And they're incorporating a diversity initiative where they're going to decide certain requirements for films to have in terms of behind the camera, in front of the camera, to diversify staff and crew that you'll have to meet in order to be nominated. So all of that remains to be seen just yet about what those are and what that will be and what that means. But Oscars is having those talks right now. So we'll see what our next Oscar looks like.
I know.
Maybe not 2021, but probably everything will take into effect in 2022, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they should postpone the Oscars. I feel like
I don't think so either.
Just accept that it's a weird year. And, you know, didn't they already say a little while ago that they would accept, you know, like on-demand movies and something? So just let that, I mean.
I know. Plus, we need our girl Elizabeth Moss to get her chance, man. She's got trying multiple... to knock her out.
Yeah.
Why, totally. Aside from Invisible Man, you guys cannot be talking about that other garbage that was on Hulu.
Oh, Shirley?
Shit. Oh, shit, Shirley. I haven't watched it yet, but I guess, Foom, it is not going to be on your list this week.
I'm going to talk about it in next episode, so let's save it.
Okay, wow. Ooh, this is a great teaser, everyone.
Yes.
Stick around for next episode, because there's going to be a Shirley show.
That's it.
Maybe I'll watch it.
That's it for housekeeping and headlines.
Okay, well, you know what that means. It is time for the list. Are we ready?
Yes.
We are.
Okay, let's get into it. All right, people, there's a lot to watch out there, movies and shows, and you know that Fumi, Tom, and I are all over it, or at least as all over it as we can be. We're also very busy, but you know. But there's lots to watch, and we're going to tell you what is on our list to watch or to skip this week. And let's go with Fumi first, please.
Okay, so the first thing on my list is Love, Victor. It is the spinoff series of Love, Simon, which is a movie that we all watched, we all enjoyed, we thought was wonderful and beautiful.
Yeah, we sure did.
Love, Victor is on Hulu. It comes out June 17th. They actually moved up the release date.
Oh!
Yeah, they moved up for a couple days. Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was originally June 19th, right?
Yes. But now it's Wednesday. Supposed to be Friday. Yeah,
cool. So they moved it up to take it off of the Juneteenth. So it's now June 17th is the day that it'll come out. I have watched the first two episodes. I'm going to say, and it does pain me to say this, but I'm going to say that it's an okay to miss.
Oh no. From Shirley to Victor.
But let me explain why. So the cast is adorable. You've got Anna Ortiz, who I love.
Oh, yeah.
The main character, his name is Michael Cimino, C-I-M-I-N-O. James Martinez, I really enjoy. Rachel Naomi Hilson, who was on The Good Wife, who I'm a huge fan of. She's adorable in this. Really good looking, cute cast. The acting and the story. I don't know what happened, you guys. Like, I know that this made headlines because it left Disney for Hulu, and we were all under the assumption that it was because it was going to be too graphic.
Yeah, a little
for
risque.
Disney and risque. Oh no, this is a softball show if there ever was one.
Wow. Then Flynn, that's kind of fucked up then. Do you think so if it's that tame and that Disney-fied, so why did they get rid of it?
It probably was because it might not be considered family friendly in terms of like a young 15-year-old mm-hmm. who likes boys. But I just was expecting so much more. So the main character, he, you know, is a 15-year-old. He's coming into his own and his sexuality. He's realizing that he likes boys, but he's not out to his family. He's not out to his friends. But he is inspiration from Love, Simon and what happened in that film in terms of, you know, Simon meeting the boy that he liked and them going to on the Ferris wheel and kissing. And so he reverts back to that a lot. But in the show, he starts to date a girl. So he kind of is like stays in the closet, but there's a boy that he has a crush on. The elements are all there for a really successful, really good show, but it's just not executed well. This is like rated G to the GG. GGG.
Yeah, I had heard that.
It is softball show, the writing, even Natasha Rothwell, who I love on Insecure. She's one of the writers on Insecure, and she also stars in the show. She is hilarious. She is such a good actor. She plays the principal on Love, Victor. Even when she's on the show, I'm like, girl, what is going on here? Like, I don't know if it, I tried to think to myself, okay, it's the first episode. It can't be this bad throughout the entire series. Let me watch, you know, because I had access to all the episodes. So let me watch the next one and see what it is. I couldn't even get through this, the rest of the second episode.
Oh, shit. Wow. This is disappointing. Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe the series does progress better as time goes on. But unfortunately for me, it's an okay to miss. It just didn't hit the way that I thought it was going to.
Well, I wonder, I'm predicting that it's going to be a hit for Hulu because it's obviously got a lot of good buzz. And even though it might not be good, it'll probably be picked up for season two. And since it's now going to be like a Hulu show, maybe season two will...
They'll push the envelope a little more.
Be different and be better, right? I could see that happening.
Yeah, it's got to be something because I mean, if I don't know. This was tame to the tame. Tame. Okay? Like,
oh,
tame.
Oh, God. All right.
And so the next thing on my list is the exact opposite of tame, honey. 365, 365 DNI. Have you guys heard about this on Netflix?
No. I was like, what is this
my
acronym?
God, honey. If you got kids listening to this podcast, cover their ears because we're about to get gritty. Okay? So, I had no idea what this was. I was literally texting on my phone, lying on my couch. Netflix was on the background, and I saw this trailer. Because, you know, sometimes they'll just, like, automatically play trailers for things. Yeah. And I'm like, what is this movie? And I'm like, well, I'll hit play. Why not? Sure. Let me check it out. Y'all, Netflix has got some porn up in that. And it is, like, number one on the top 10 trending, like, globally right now. Oh, okay? God. So, this movie is ridiculous. It is definitely an ad, but you're not adding this for any type of plot or story. This is quite possibly one of the most garbage things I've ever watched, but the sex in this film, oh my God. So, let me take you through the plot.
Whoa.
We have a man named Massimo, who is this unbelievably sexy Italian actor, like, oh my God. Okay. Ooh. He is a mafia boss who sees some woman, her name is Laura, who's like on the beach while she's vacationing with her boyfriend, and I guess he becomes infatuated with her. Shit happens, something goes down, he gets shot at, he like sees her face and then spends years trying to like find her. Finds her at an airport, kidnaps her, and tells her she has 365 days to fall in love with him. Stockholm Syndrome, kidnapping, utterly garbage, right? Garbage plot, right? But the intensity of his attraction and, like feelings for her, the way that they interact with one another, like, he is a man who basically lets her know he's not patient. The grabbing, the expressions, the teasing, and then when they finally...
Does he speak Italian?
He speaks Italian.
Yes!
But he also speaks English. He calls her baby girl, which is like when he says it, it's like you're bursting out into laughter when he says it because it's so ridiculous. But when they finally have sex, it is like a 5-minute sex scene.
Oh.
It is so graphic. You cannot convince me that they're not actually doing it.
Do you see his penis?
Okay, so a couple of women give him blowjobs in the movie, and you definitely see a bit of a shaft, but you don't see, like, the whole thing, which makes it even sexier because it's, like, a tease.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I was watching this movie, and I was like, what the
fuck? How long is it?
It's an hour and a half. It's a film. Honey, let me tell you, the sex scene, there is a scene where he's going down on her, I'm blushing. Like, he goes down on her, and then, like, he, you know, moisturizes the area in such a way that Mark's jaw is down right now. I was like, holy shit, did they just show that on Netflix? Am I watching Pornhub right now? No, I'm watching Netflix. I could not believe it. Like, y'all... There's this one.
So this shit, 50 Shades got nothing 50, on this shit.
Well, 50 Shades has nothing on this. Like, when I was watching this, there's this one scene where he, like, handcuffs her to the bed and then handcuffs her ankles to the bed. And it's this, like, contraption where every time she moves, it spreads her legs wider.
Oh, y'all, my God.
Let me tell you. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I suggest. You put the kids to bed. You get some wine. You snuggle up with your significant other. You watch this movie, and then y'all have a good night.
And then okay? You fuck. Oh
my God. What in the world? Now, wait.
It is number one across the globe on Netflix, y'all.
Like, this has to be like a foreign film, right?
It is a foreign film. It is a Polish film, and it's based off of a Polish book. I think it's also called 365 DNI.
Now, what is DNI?
It's days. So he gives her 365 days to fall in love with him. I realize I've neglected to actually tell you the plot of the film because I got distracted by all this sex.
You guys
floored. And that's just one sex scene, y'all. Then there's another one where they come back from a club and they go at it in the bathroom. And I'm just watching it and I'm like, oh my God. Like, wow. Here for it. And this man is so hot. So hot. It was
now
like,
you said different women give him, you know, sexual, so, like, opening, so he's just getting on with it anyway.
Well, no. So the opening is he gets a blowjob from like a stewardess, but he hasn't like met the Flora chick yet. But the scene when I told you that he handcuffs her to the bed, he has a woman come in and give him a blowjob and he makes her watch.
Jesus.
It's you say Jesus, but the way it's done, she is like, the emotion she's having while she's in that bed, she is so turned on, but she's so angry, but you could tell she's like dying. Like she's begging, but she doesn't know what she's begging for. She doesn't know if she's begging for him to like come to her or begging for him to stop. Like it is so effing sexy. Like y'all.
All right. I know what I'm doing. Wow.
John's like, okay, bye everyone.
Yeah. I'm having internet connection problems. I'll be back.
Okay,
y'all go and check this movie out. I am telling you, you'll have a good little night. But just to be clear, I have to say it again. This is an ad because of the sex scenes. This is not an ad for this plot of this film in any way, shape, or form.
Fair enough.
Okay?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. Noted.
Just putting y'all on some game right now. That's all. And that's it for that movie. But I do want to just give a quick shout out to Chloe and Holly. They just dropped their album, Ungodly Hour. It's so amazing. It's so fantastic. Oh. Add it to your list. And also add 8:46 by Dave Chappelle. He dropped that on YouTube. It's so powerful and amazing. Add it and watch it. It's so good.
Love it. Wow, Foom. Okay. All right. Let's save some room for Thomas. What you got, Tom?
Well, I got quite the shoes to fill. Oh, man. Well, I'm going to talk about two films that I'm really excited to talk about, but for very different reasons. One of them does have kind of a hot sex scene, so maybe kind of, sort of. First thing I'm going to talk about is a little gem of a film called And Then We Danced. And if you couldn't tell by the way I prefaced that, that is a resounding add to your list. So that's been on the film circuit for quite a while. People have been buzzing about what a good film it is. I had heard about it, I feel like, nearly a year ago, and I added it to my films to see document that I have in my Google Drive. It is a Georgian film, Georgia as in the country. And it's incredibly groundbreaking because it's a Georgian film about a gay relationship. Now, if you don't know the politics of the country of Georgia, Georgia is a very, very small country that recently, in modern times, got its liberation from Serbia and Russia, right? So it used to be under their control. And whether or not they're totally free is debated by some still today. But, you know, in that part of the world, views on LGBT can be very conservative. But believe it or not, Georgia has pretty progressive views when it comes to gay and lesbians, in that they do have protections in the workplace, but not anywhere else in life. But that's a start, because elsewhere in that region of the world, that ain't the case. So it's a very complex situation. And what the movie chronicles is the impact that dance has on Georgian culture and Georgian society. People spend their whole lives just being a Georgian dancer, spending their lives practicing and trying to get into various ballets and theatrical representations. And so this one fellow is a Georgian dancer, and he's been one for his whole life, though he's very mediocre at it. And into his class comes another gentleman who is superb at Georgian dance, and the two of them start falling in love in a very contentious place and in very contentious times. Fantastic film, guys. This is the kind of movie that sticks with you for days. I'm talking about, like, Call Me By Your Name level. Mm. The performances were outrageously good, especially the main character. I can't pronounce his name. That's why I'm just going to refer to him as the main character. I'm not even going to pretend I speak Georgian. But the main character, his acting is out of this world. You feel his emotion. You feel the passion he has for dance, the passion he has for his classmate. You feel the passion he has for his family at home and the struggle that he the internal struggle that he feels in trying to be his true self in such a restrictive society. I cannot say enough good things about this film. It is amazing, amazing. It is groundbreaking. It needs to be told. In fact, when this film did premiere in Georgia, there were some riots and protests outside of the screening where it was taking place because it's that controversial and it's that forward thinking for that society. Had you guys heard of this film? I saw you both nodding your head.
I definitely have seen the trailer. It was popping up for me in like social ads. So how'd you watch it, Tom? What did you watch it on?
I actually bought the film off of Amazon Prime, but you can rent it.
Okay.
What's it called again?
And Then We Danced.
And Then We Danced.
So you bought it just knowing you'd love it.
I did. Yep. I saw those reviews and I was like, honey, I'm going to add this to my LGBT collection. But I'm glad I did because I absolutely loved it. Wonderful, wonderful film. Very raw, very honest. Doesn't sugarcoat things. What I really like, too, is the main character has a very solid friendship with a girl in his class, and she's very understanding, and she knows that he's gay, and she's accepting of it. I really love that aspect of the film. Definitely check it out. If you're going to watch anything for Pride Month, watch And Then We Danced. It's a wonderful, wonderful film.
That's awesome. Nice. Cool.
Second thing on my list, Spike Lee's new joint, The Five Bloods, which you can find on Netflix. Folks, this is also a resounding add to your list. It is a fucking amazing movie. Spike Lee outdid himself. I loved Black Klansman. I thought that would be like the height of his career. He outdid himself with this story.
Wow.
I believe Delroy Lindo is without a doubt going to be nominated for the Oscar. I believe he has a very, very good chance of winning the Oscar for playing the role he plays.
Cool.
I do. Yep. I do believe Spike Lee is going to be nominated for Best Director. I think the film will be nominated for Best Screenplay and Best Picture. This is how good I think it is. It is incredible.
And this kind of came not out of nowhere, but it was sort of quick. Like, it wasn't talked about a ton, right? Yeah.
It wasn't talked about a ton.
Do we know if this is initially supposed to be on Netflix, or is this another, like, theater transfer to Netflix situation?
I don't know, but I have a feeling it was intended for theater.
Okay.
But quick plot. So these five gentlemen were together in the Vietnam War, and a little bit of history that a lot of people probably don't know. During the Vietnam War, right, which was in the late 60s, that was also the time that the civil rights movement was really gaining traction here in the U.S. At that time, black people made up 11% of American society, right? But 11% of American society, right? However, a third of the soldiers who fought in Vietnam were black. Think about that statistic.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so they were fighting for a war that wasn't really, that we really didn't need to get involved in. Yeah. They were fighting for rights that they did not have themselves here as full citizens back home in the U.S. Okay, so that's basically the context of what Spike Lee is trying to drive home, right? So these five men were in Vietnam together. Jump forward to the future. During their stint in Vietnam, they come across some gold that they stumble upon after a plane crash. They bury that gold in the Vietnamese jungle, and they go back in present day as older men to try and find that gold. Yes.
Ah, cool.
Yes. Here's the most interesting part. Here's why I think Delroy Lindo is really the shining star of this film. He plays a Trump supporter.
Oh.
And Spike Lee does not shy away from the fact that there are black people out there who support Trump
this
and
is
who
true.
Feel like Yep, and who feel like society has spit on them, not only because they're black, but because they're vets and, you know, other parts of other classes of society. So that added such a rich and unique layer to the story that I was never, ever suspecting. And he's the only person who's a Trump supporter among his friends that he goes back to Vietnam with. And that dominates a lot of the conversations that they have as they're walking through the jungle. He wears a MAGA hat, which, side note, Delroy Lindo actually fought Spike Lee on. He really, really did not want to wear that hat. And Spike told him, you got to wear it.
Yeah, so said, you're okay, inviting bad juju into yourself.
I know. Ooh, that's tricky. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so Spike said, okay, you could wear it, but you have to wear it, but I'll let you wear it backwards. So that was the compromise. Most of the film, Delroy has his hat on backwards. But I thought it was amazing. It's 2 hours and 30 minutes long. I would have never guessed that. It doesn't feel like that at all. It is shot incredibly well. It makes me want to go to Vietnam. It looks like such a rich place, such a rich culture. When he goes back and forth between the 60s and present day, he films those two time periods very differently. So that's a very cool aspect of it. I can't say enough about it. I absolutely dug this film. I thought it was fantastic. And if war movies aren't your thing, don't worry. This is not a war movie. This is way more than a war movie.
Well, that's cool. I'm definitely going to, I'll probably watch it tonight.
That's loved it. It sounds loved great. It. Okay. And it just came to Netflix, right, Tom? Was it this past weekend?
Yep.
Wow. Very exciting.
So
okay.
That's my list.
Awesome. Wow. All right. Very different, like you said, Tom, very different items between you and Fumi. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. So I have a couple things to tell you about as well. I have two movies. First up is Just Mercy. It came out last fall, winter. So it's a movie from last year. But the biggest thing that I want everyone to know, you probably already know by now, it's free. It's completely free to watch on like everything. Even Redbox is giving out codes to rent it for free. I watched on Apple TV.
Fantastic.
It's amazing. I felt like honestly why not? I had to watch it. I mean, it's free, like, you know. And so it's like I said, it's a recent movie. It unfortunately didn't really get any real awards love. I think Jamie Foxx got maybe a nom or two.
He got a SAG nom. I think
he did get a SAG nom. You're right. Yep. But yeah, so I missed this last year. I didn't get a chance to see it, but I'm so glad I did. Stars, as I said, Jamie Foxx, Brie Larson, and of course, Michael B. Jordan in the main role. Did you guys get a chance to watch this yet? Have you watched it?
No, I want to very badly.
Okay.
I saw it last year.
Oh, okay. You saw it last year. Awesome. Yeah. So Just Mercy, it takes place in 1989. And the biggest thing, and this is why it's free right now, is because of course everything that's going on in the news, all these protests and the Black Lives Matter movement, and how what happens in 1989 in this film is exactly the same thing happening today with these terrible police officers. And so Brian Stevenson, he's this young Harvard Law graduate, he's this young lawyer, and he's played by Michael B. Jordan, and he's great in the movie. I mean, Michael B. Jordan's great in everything, but he's really captivating, as are really all the actors. This is a big cast, lots of great smaller roles, and everyone
Brie Larson's in it, right?
Brie Larson is in it, yep, as his sort of friend, coworker, Eva Ansley, and they help create this company, really, this like legal firm called Equal Justice Initiative. And the whole movie is how this young lawyer in, I want to say it was Alabama, right? I think it's Alabama. He's helping death row inmates, black death row inmates. And Jamie Foxx plays a prisoner who has been wrongfully accused of killing a white woman. And you see the terrible things that these men and women, but primarily the men in this film of color, have gone through. And this lawyer himself, I mean, there are some grueling scenes. There's a scene early on in the film where, you know, he has to strip for security just to get into the building, and no one else has to do that.
Yeah.
But because he's black, I mean, and it's really degrading, of course. And, you know, of course, there are threats, and he's staying with Brie Larson's character, and she's receiving threats from these awful white people. But, yeah, I recommend it. I think as a movie itself, it's a little straightforward. It's exactly what you imagine. I don't know. I think it could have been maybe a slight bit more, you know, artistic or edgy in its delivery. But, you know, it's the kind of film that I think will be shown in schools. And maybe that was probably the filmmaker's goal, you know. Yes,
Tom? It feel like the script may be a couple years old and they had just finally gotten around to it?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. It's based on the real lawyer Brian Stevenson's memoir, his book. So I don't know. I don't know if it's been sitting around. I think just the direction is, you know, just very
simple,
conventional, and nothing wrong with that at all. But yeah, you know, it's your typical movie. I kind of wanted it every now and then to have like the bite and the kind of edge that, remember that great movie A Time to Kill had? Sandra Bullock, great race and legal movie. I remember that was like truly, you know, stressful and, you know, crazy. But so, long story short, Just Mercy, add it to your list. I think it's great. I'm glad it exists. What'd you think, Foom? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I thought it was a great movie. It's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, you know, it like you said, it is what it is, that this is still happening. It's still a situation. Absolutely. So it's timely. I think it's important to watch. It's uncomfortable to watch, but I think it's important to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good. So check that out. And then I couldn't decide what my second item was. I was like, do I talk about Dead to Me, even though it's now been a month old, season 2, which, great show. We talked about it a little bit last season when my friend Mel sent in some audio raving about season 1. Season 2 has a little, you know, gay storyline, so happy Pride. So I want to give that a little bit of love, but I'm actually going to tell you guys about something that's a little less on Netflix's popularity list, and that is a really fun, cool, scary movie called Sweetheart. So Sweetheart, ooh, everybody, it's on Netflix. It might have been on there for a little bit. It's a Blumhouse scary movie. It's scary, yes. Oh, there are some there are some visuals that, I'm not going to lie, my husband Greg jumped out of his skin. I was scared. He was horrified. I looked at him, I'm like, I had to pause it. I was like, are you okay? Like, it's scary, but what the hell? So there are some good visuals in this movie. Sweetheart, it's a Blumhouse movie, and I'm so glad I watched it after the abysmal Fantasy Island, because this is another scary movie set on an island, but it's far better. It stars Kiersey Clemons. I think that's how you say her name, Kiersey Clemons. She's been in different things. I think Tom talked about her in Hearts Beat Loud, that movie. She's great. Think of it as Castaway, but like meets like the creature from the Black Lagoon. So it's a creature feature, and that's all I'm going to say. But so she plays Jen, this young woman.
Maybe, is she mixed or black?
Yes.
The young woman?
Yeah.
Oh, I have seen this movie.
Oh, you saw it.
I saw it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's good.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. She's so cute. She's great. She's been in a bunch of different things. I think she was on, the first thing I saw her in was Transparent. But so she's our lead. And much like if you guys remember a while ago, again, going back to our Halloween episode, talking about like a cool creature from the Black Lagoon remake, maybe with a woman of color, I feel like I kind of got it in this movie.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, Blumhouse did a good job. It's very much kind of like a B movie, you know. I don't want to give anything away. The CGI, you can tell it was a lower budget, simpler film, but it works. I think it worked great. I didn't really know where it was going to go, but this young woman in her early 20s, maybe college age, has washed ashore, very little dialogue, and she's on this beautiful island, and she's alone, or so she thinks. We get to know more about her and where she came from, and we get to know what else is on this island with her, and it's fun. It's a fast, like, hour and 25 minutes. But even though that's very short, it feels perfect. It feels like we covered all the bases. It's got a cool, fun ending. I was into it. So check out Sweetheart on Netflix. I think you'll like it. It's scary, but it's not that, you know, it won't keep you up at night, but there's some cool, images for sure, I think. So check that out. And that is our list. Wow. What an eventful list. Gosh,
so we need a cigarette break?
I feel like I was in this 365 movie. I need to catch my breath. okay, so to add it up, everyone, to recap, we had, started off with a whimper with Love, Victor. Fumi says that is okay to miss.
Mm-hmm.
But then things got very exciting with the add this to your list item 365 D&I on Netflix.
Yes.
Everyone, after you listen, press play on that.
Yes.
Also on Netflix, a must add, a resounding ad on Netflix is Defy Bloods from Spike Lee. And a resounding ad as well from Tom is And Then We Danced, a gay movie that is on Prime, on digital, and it's Pride. So, you know, support the gays. And then I gave you to add this to your list as well. I recommend Sweetheart and Just Mercy, which is available to watch for free. So check all those what? Out.
That's a good list.
That's, robust.
That's a list. Good list. A full list. I love it.
Well, as Mark said, it is Pride, so we're going to continue on with that theme. And, you know, here at Add This to Your List, we are all about transparency. Couple episodes ago, we talked about We're Here and Dragnificent, and we posted about it on social, and that post kind of blew the fuck up. Like,
thank
none
you
of
all.
Our posts have ever done before. Yes. So we were like, y'all, we need to talk about drag queens more. And Fumi and Mark love Drag Race. I've
yes.
seen here and there.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm a big RuPaul fan. So
it's my
I'm
religion.
Here for it.
I mean, are you watching yes. All Stars?
Yep. Yes, Fum. We have to talk later.
And so as we said at the top of the episode, we have Alexis Michelle and Dusty Ray Bottoms here
with
us. But before we do that, we thought it would be fun to just very quickly talk about one performance or more. I think Mark has two that he
I have,
I
have two
decide between.
I love them. Yes, exactly.
So let's just talk about one drag performance in all of film history that sticks with us. Fumi, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I have a movie that I can still watch to this day over and over and over again. I just love. Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
It's so good, Fum.
Such a good,
so good
classic. I love it. I just love
and
it.
And I think it's on Netflix right now.
Yes.
It is, because we just watched it last night. It kills me that you never find out who the hell Wong Fu is, though.
Really? Well, no, yeah, you do. In
the
end.
Title comes from like a real note. Yeah.
The note, but as Chi Chi says, who's Wong Fu? You never find out who that is.
Oh, really? I haven't seen it in a while.
I thought you did at the end. Maybe I have to go back and rewatch. But yeah, it's a great movie. Patrick Swayze, rest in peace. Wesley Snipes, Strong Like Wazamo. They are drag queens who are going to
Hollywood.
Where are they going? They're going to Hollywood. And they basically take a road trip and hit a small town along the way and kind of just breathe life into people who are closed-minded and who have never seen anything like these fabulous queens before. And it is just such a lovely, beautiful film. Like, you can tell Patrick and Wesley and John had fun making this movie.
Yes, and they did such a good job for these three straight men.
Yeah.
I mean, they did not care. You can feel it. They are in it.
Yeah.
I love it.
You could tell it was just probably just like such a joy. And so, like Mark said, it's on Netflix. Watch it. It's such a good movie. So good.
So here's some interesting context for that. So I gave you some context for, you know, And Then We Dance and The Five Bloods. I guess I'm your context man tonight. So this film, Tu Wong Fu, came out in 1995.
Yes.
A year after the number one leading cause in the U.S. of death of men between 25 and 44 was HIV AIDS.
Wow.
Comes out a year after that was the leading cause in America. And did you know that that film spent 3 weeks at number one at the box office?
I didn't. That's fabulous.
Wow.
It made $48 million in its box office run,
that's
which
amazing.
Today would translate to over $100 million.
Oh, my
that's
God.
Amazing.
I didn't realize it was that big of a hit. I thought it was
I thought it was a cult, like, under-the-radar cult classic kind of thing.
Oh, that's
I love
amazing.
To hear that. I love to hear that. That's so great. I mean, it deserved
that's
it.
Awesome.
This movie is, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just good. Uh-huh. All around
You're
acting.
So right.
Fun, fashion, music.
Quotable.
It's quotable. It's just a good movie.
Yeah. Great choice. It's like so iconic.
Yeah.
Mark, what'd you pick?
So I also went, my first thought was I went with another iconic drag film, and duh, guys, that has to be The Birdcage.
Yes.
I saw this at a young age when I didn't really understand a lot of it, rewatched it later, but I would quote it. I quoted, like, you know, Robin Williams' famous, like, dance monologue with Hank Azaria. And then I rewatched it later and realized, like, this is such a great classic story movie. You have Nathan Lane in drag at dinner. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. You even had Gene Hackman makes a little drag cameo at the end of the film. Great cast, great story. I just have to give it up for The Birdcage. It's just a classic. And then another item that I could not ignore, I absolutely love with my whole heart, Amanda Bynes in She's the Man.
I like the twist.
Right?
Wait, what?
Wait. Tom,
yeah, I don't think I've ever seen She's the Man, no.
Who are you?
Oh, my God. I'm shocked by that.
You cannot be the gay correspondent anymore. No way. She's the Man is fabulous.
It's so fun.
Laugh out loud, right,
yeah.
Foom?
Yeah,
I saw it in theaters. I think I was crying with tears of laughter. I mean, Amanda Bynes, we know, has had a tough road, but back in the day, she was a true comedian.
Yes.
And so I had to give some love for the reverse, because we don't see too many women dressed as men,
yeah,
you know.
Right, right.
She, and this was sort of like a little bit of a remake of a fun 80s movie with the same thing. It was Just One of the Guys, where a girl dressed up as a guy. But I had to give it up for She's a Man. It's a Shakespearean story told in modern day with Channing Tatum. It was like Channing Tatum's first movie.
Yeah.
Tom, you got to see it. It's so good.
All right, I'll add it to my list. You like what I did there?
There you go. Right? So those are my two.
Yeah. All right, and I will wrap it up with this one is a little bit of out of left field, I will say.
It kind of is, but I dig it.
And a lot, I can't remember the specifics, but I think I've read articles since this movie has come out about it being a little problematic nowadays and not holding up so well, this particular performance. I'm going to ignore that for a second because it's been quite a while since I've seen this film, but the film I'm talking about is The Fifth Element, and the performance I'm talking about is Chris Tucker when he plays Ruby Red, or Ruby Rod, I think.
Iconic.
I
don't remember this.
I
don't
can
even remember
still,
The Fifth
really?
Element. What is that movie about?
All he does is scream. You don't remember him screaming, and he's wearing that black dress with the red roses.
Well, it's funny because when you chose this, Tom, I at first was like, wait, is he in drag? But you're right. He's wearing like these big, beautiful. Yeah, and you're not really sure.
You're not
what's
sure
going
if
on,
he's gay,
dresses,
if he's a drag queen, if he's portraying a woman. You
trans,
don't know. You don't know what is going on. But he fucking commands that performance.
He was awesome.
It. And I can still watch his scenes to this day and just crack up laughing. The shit that comes out of his mouth. The part was written just for him. He took it, he ran with it. Definitely check out The Fifth Element, Chris Tucker playing Ruby Red, I think, or Ruby Rod. It's one of those two. And toward
I
the latter part
choice,
of the
Tom.
Movie, if you're because The Fifth Element is a long movie and it's very layered, it's very complex, but
very
skip
weird.
To the last 40 minutes when shit hits the fan, and that's when Chris Tucker really gets to do his thing. Fantastic, fantastic.
Yes, I'm overdue for a rewatch. I haven't watched that in years. It's a weird
movie.
That's the one, Foom, with like Bruce Willis, Gary Oldman. It was Mila Jovovich, red hair.
The
alien,
the blue
really
alien
crazy.
Singing opera.
Blue alien lady.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So.
Yeah.
So that's our little drag segment before we get to talking to these queens. Shall we do it?
Yes.
The pros. Let's do it.
So, as we said, listeners, we are here with drag stars Alexis Michelle from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9 and this year's Dragnificent on TLC, and Dusty Ray Bottoms from Drag Race Season 10. Welcome, ladies. How are you?
Welcome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
So, things are looking a little different this year because of COVID, but how are you celebrating Pride, and how are you celebrating today, especially because, as of this recording, the Supreme Court has issued its landmark decision that LGBT people can no longer be fired for being who they are.
Yes.
You know, I think because, you know, Pride can't necessarily be celebrated safely the way it normally is. And frankly,
preach.
There's so much going on in the world and in the country right now that needs to be focused on as far as people's basic civil rights and human rights are concerned. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that the energy has shifted this year, it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. And the fact that protest is so alive is kind of a return to what Pride used to be.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So well said.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we really do have something to celebrate with this Supreme Court decision, which is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I think what's really important to focus on, I mean, I don't want to, yes, like celebrate. This is a landmark moment, like, thank goodness, but important not to rest on it and get complacent.
Don't lose focus.
What you need to remember, everyone needs to remember, is that there is a leader and an administration that actively was trying to strip these rights away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let this energize you to rally the troops, to mobilize, and to vote your asses off.
Yes. Say it again.
Oh
vote, people.
Vote.
Can I vote for you, Alexis? Can I write your name on the ballot?
People have said to me that I should be running for office, but you know what? As an entertainer and a celebrity, I know that I have no place in it. I don't know shit about politics.
All right, there you go. Great point.
Love it.
Celebrities stay out of politics.
Okay. Yes.
You know, just to tail on what Alexis was talking about with, you know, we may not be able to have what we call today our pride parade, but with what is going on in our world, people are taking to the streets every day, and we're not going to stop taking to the streets and marching. Nice. And that was what Pride was all about. It wasn't a parade. We call it that now. It was a Pride march.
Oh, yeah. So history is way kinder to Stonewall than it really should be.
We just want to put jelly beans on everything and little sugar this, sugar that. And it's just, it was a march. It was a riot. And we just have to, it's very important that we may be in week three of protesting, but we still have to keep that energy throughout. We cannot let this die. It has to get bigger and bigger and build and build. And I think that's something that's really great about Pride is that we have that 1 week or 1 month to celebrate, but we keep that energy all year long, all year long. Every day is Pride Day for us.
And, I love that.
And Dusty and his fiance Mark have been out marching. I've marched at the Stonewall and then just the other day at Union Square. And, you know, Union Square on Sunday, they said the people who spoke beautifully and were leading the march said, this is day 16 and we are not stopping.
Yep.
No.
I think that that's the important thing to remember is let yourself be energized. Let yourself join the movement, but don't stop the movement. Keep the movement going.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Beautifully said. Well, guys, let's switch it to something a little lighter maybe. So you guys obviously are drag superstars. We love you. We're big fans. Tell us, how did you guys get into drag and why is it important to you? Alexis, you want to go first? How'd you get into drag?
Oh, I was going to let Dusty.
Dusty?
No, you go, Alexis.
Okay, let's see. I always say like the instinct to play dress up was there since I was like a little person. And it like sort of resurfaced in middle and high school. And then I started doing it professionally in college. Mm-hmm. But I was pursuing a musical theater career and was so focused on those dreams and was afraid that drag would take me out of the running for things. So I kept my drag really secretive for a while. And then it was watching the first season of Drag Race that was like, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so slowly, little by little, I became more open, more public about doing drag and started auditioning for the show since season two.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Dusty?
So I think very similarly for Alexis and I. I moved to New York to pursue musical theater. That's what I went to college for. And just with my story of coming out, it was really hard for me to get to New York. And once I got to New York, like I wanted to stay here. I didn't want to leave and go do Clifford the Big Red Dog tour with Theater Works. Like I wasn't interested in that. Like I didn't go through what I went through to be on my knees wolfing like that. You know what I mean? I wasn't obviously booking Broadway either. So I stopped auditioning. I wasn't doing anything and I was waiting tables and years were going by and I was like, oh my God, I didn't move to New York to just wait tables. Like, well, I need to get it together. What am I doing here?
Right.
And I was going to Bob the Drag Queen show every Monday night at Barracuda and Thorgy Thor and Azrea show at the Ritz on Tuesday nights. And I just saw really awesome drag that made me feel like I could have a voice in an artistic community where I felt like I could not have one in the one that I wanted to be a part of so badly because I was either too tall, out of shape, too skinny, not muscly, too gay, not like all of these things. But in drag, I could be everything that I want it to be and that could be celebrated. So that was one of the major pulls. I was my producer. I was my everything.
Totally.
And I took the plunge. And that's actually how Alexis and I became friends. We met out on Fire Island competing in a competition. Oh. And then we both did So You Think You Can Drag at New World Stages the fall after that summer we met. And that sparked our little friendship and competition streak.
I love that.
That is so cute.
That's so fun.
And did you guys meet before you guys were on your seasons of Drag Race? Or
yes.
Yeah, okay, so.
We were good Judies but I went away. In fact, I thought, I've said this many times to Dusty and other people, I was so sure, like I had my money on it, that Dusty would get on Drag Race before me.
Oh, yeah.
Or I thought like we would have gotten on at the same season, and we might have.
Together, the same season.
But she didn't audition for season 9.
Oh, okay.
I didn't.
Wow.
I auditioned for 8.
Oh, that's funny.
But look how it turned out anyway. It all worked out.
Yeah, right. You both were stars of your individual seasons. No fighting.
So something like that.
Well, since we're talking about Drag Race, what were your experiences like on the show?
Oh, boy. They were, you know...
I'm sure it was crazy to shoot. Right.
Yeah. It's really, you're literally, once you get the phone call that you're on the show, it's like you're shot out of a cannon. There isn't much time to think about a lot of things, and everything that you've always hoped and dreamed it would be, maybe it's not going to turn out that way. And it didn't for most of us. It probably only did for like 20 girls, you know? But, we're very blessed to have the platform we have. We've got to travel the world and speak to people about what's going on in our community and how to fix that. So there have been some major perks. I don't know. I had a good time. It wasn't everything that I wanted it to be. I didn't do what I went there to do. Mm. And I hope I get to go back and change some people's minds.
Hey, next All-Stars.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Whoa, yeah.
One thing that I experienced, and I think everybody who goes to film experiences, that I tried to sort of relay to Dusty before he went to film his season, was there's, you imagine, you prepare mentally as much as you think you can, but when you get there, it's very eye-opening and you're like, oh, okay, this is what it is. And it's kind of hard to articulate exactly what that means, but pretty much every girl that goes has that like aha moment. And so it is not quite what you expect it to be. It is easily the hardest thing I've ever done.
Ever.
You can tell just from watching. You're in awe watching that what you guys accomplished.
Oh,
and I'm sure a very short amount of time as well.
Very short amount of time.
Right? Yeah.
The magic of TV.
Seem like it's once, you know, each week, but it's probably like every other day someone's, you know, going home and all that, right?
When they say this, they mean it. Like time is constantly of the essence.
Yeah. And you don't even know what time it is. You're under a floodlight all day. You're like, did I just get here? I don't know. I could have been here 2 days before they take me out of here.
That's not a joke. To take your watches.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Oh, God. That's gotta be weird. And what is the sleeping situation like? Do you guys have like a hotel room, I guess? Or yeah?
But he's in an individual hotel room.
Okay.
I've heard stories about the good old days of filming Drag Race, but that is not how it is anymore.
Okay, good.
They came and separated you ladies, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Even a little tape on your door to make sure you don't leave.
Oh, wait, for real?
Yep.
And they tape your peephole so you can't see anyone walking down the hallway.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all are sequestered.
Oh, my God. This is scary. Wow. Well, Dusty, this next question is for you. Since you talked on your season of Drag Race about your really tough experience with your family and about conversion therapy and everything, we now know that you are working with Band Conversion Therapy Kentucky. I saw the video that came out earlier this year on YouTube, at least. And can you tell us more about that and what you're doing with them?
Yeah, absolutely. I was like really nervous about telling my story on a public platform, especially because I've never heard my story before. Every time that I've ever talked to about going through conversion or coming out to my family, they've always kind of given me that like weird smirk, like, oh, like no one could really like sympathize with me and be like, I went through that too. And so it wasn't until that my story aired that I started getting messages from people being like, me too. I'm going through this now. I'm afraid this is going to happen if I come out because of my family or the situation that I'm in. And it was a really awesome full circle moment for me. And that's when, you know, the Trevor Project had reached out to me, and I've been doing some work with the Trevor Project, going around to seminars, telling the story and why conversion therapy is dangerous. I just got to work with Ban Conversion Therapy Kentucky to make PSAs to help pass legislature in Kentucky to make it illegal, because it's still, conversion therapy is still illegal in like 24 states.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm really serious.
Oh, yeah.
But it just got proposed to the UN, where the UN may make it illegal all over the world.
Wow.
So we're like hoping for that. That would be everything. I think they're going to do what's right. If it's being brought to the UN, hopefully they pass right. the right judgment. But I just recently also got to go to the Episcopal Church's summer camps conference, and all of their dioceses and pastors or whatever were there. And I got to do a whole seminar for them on conversion therapy. And I got all of the dioceses that day to sign the ban against conversion therapy and reach out to the Trevor Project to integrate the Trevor Project into their church camps for the kids.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic.
That's amazing. Wow. Really, really cool. Okay. So that's great. Yeah.
So I'm looking to, it's very important to me to like, I'm from the church. I grew up in the church, and I know what it's like to have that struggle of being a preacher's kid and like going through that and not having anyone to talk to. And it's very important that our youth have an outlet to reach out to know that they are perfect, that they're seen and they're loved and important. And I think that is like the biggest blessing that I got to take away from Drag Race, is that I got to use my story and like try to help the kids from my hometown, you know?
Absolutely. Seriously. Cause I remember watching that and watching your story, and I mean, it hits you. So good for you. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you guys watching Drag Race All Stars? And if you are, who's your favorite and who do you think will win?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let Dusty start, because I know she's more caught up than I am.
Oh, okay.
So I am watching. I am.
Of course,
and,
right?
There's just something about Shea Coulee that is undeniable.
Oh, yeah.
And I am just like, she killed me on the runway this week.
Yes. Stunning.
I'm just really rooting for her. I really hope she wins. I think this could be her season. Yeah. But I really love Jujubee. It's really fun.
Yes.
It's an all-star season. They got some great girls up there.
Yeah, there's a true nice blend of like, you know, from past seasons, from recent seasons. Like it feels really equal. Yeah. What about you,
and
Alexis?
If Shea Coulee wins, it'll be the first season. Season 9 will have 3 winners out of that season.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
Which would be really cool.
Yeah.
9 was lit, y'all.
Wow.
But also, if a season 10 girl wins, it's the same thing.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah.
I'm still rooting for Shea.
Yeah.
So I also really love the point you brought up about how it's like a nice mix of like old seasons and newer seasons.
Yeah.
It has a kind of nostalgic feel, which I always appreciate. I am of course rooting for my season 9 homegirl Shay.
Mm-hmm.
She dominated our season the first time around, and she's only gotten stronger with time and continued to find her voice as an artist and an entertainer. And so I'm so excited for her, and would love to see her, you know, snatch it. And also rooting hardcore for my Dragnificent co-star Jujubee.
Yes.
It's one of my all-time favorite queens from the franchise. And don't forget, the bitch has been top 3 twice. So she's a contender.
Yes, I love that. And speaking of Jujubee, perfect segue. So Alexis, we know, we have actually on this show talked about Dragnificent. I raved about it. I think it's super fun and so perfect. And you, of course, are one of the 4 main queens on Dragnificent on TLC. Can you tell us, what was it like shooting that? You were going all over the place.
It was so much fun. and really meaningful. You know, on a personal level, it was meaningful for me because as someone who wanted to be on Drag Race for all these seasons, you know, I watched and idolized Bebe Zahara-Binet.
Right.
And Jujubee. And then even though we're both from New York, I had never worked with Thorgy Thor, but was a fan of her from Drag Race.
Yeah.
And so getting to be a part of the sisterhood on this other project was super awesome. And then it was just super cool to go all around the country. You know, we went to some small towns and weren't sure how we'd be welcomed. And we were embraced with open, loving arms.
Wow.
And I will say, you know, Dusty mentioned before that the best part about Drag Race is that it is life-changing. You get to make your living as an entertainer. You get to travel the world. And you have this platform to impact people. And it's a part of the career that I didn't necessarily anticipate. I didn't anticipate that just by living our truth authentically, that has real power and inspiration for people. Mm-hmm. So that was a real gift in getting
pride, to y'all. It's pride.
Yeah. Yes.
Like to share that, you know, with people that we met and hear their stories was really, really awesome. And yeah.
Yeah. Do we know that's if there's fantastic. Gonna be a season two yet? Do we know any of that news?
We're waiting to hear. Okay. So be sure to just, you know, blow up TLC's social media,
tell them
Dragnificent.
Oh yeah.
And also they've done some marathons on TLC that they are continuing to re-air it. But if you want to watch it and didn't catch it the first time around, all of the episodes as well as our digital series are available on TLC Go app is where you can watch the episodes, and then you can watch Behind the Queens on TLC's Facebook.
Oh, fun.
You hear that, listeners?
Yes. Well, you
got a lot of viewing to do.
Oh, and luckily for you, Alexis, Dragnificent has, as you probably know, a great solid following. When we posted about the show on our social media, oh my God, people were coming out of the woodwork. Like, I need this show like every single day. Like, so yeah.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I got
good.
All of my feels watching it.
Right? Mm-hmm. So good.
So, I mean, this is a perfect segue to the next question. Drag is really in right now, right? This year alone, we have not only is Drag Race on the air, two seasons worth, but then we have Dragnificent and We're Here on HBO, which just got renewed for season two. What do you guys attribute this sudden surge in popularity in drag content to?
I think it came from Drag Race, honestly.
I would agree.
Drag has always been there. And it's always been a part of the pulse of communities. It certainly was part of the pulse of, you know, the LGBTQ plus community and the start of the civil rights movement. So it's always been there. But RuPaul is the singular household name in drag, period, the world over. And Ru's ability to sort of like, constantly Madonna himself is an attribute, you know, to him and sort of his career. And I think that more than anything, Drag Race brought drag into people's living rooms in a truly mainstream way.
Yeah. Totally. Absolutely.
Here, here.
Mm-hmm.
I wish for that reason it was a little bit more complete in its representation of what drag is. It definitely has some expanding to do.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, we're grateful that it expands the platform.
And awesome. If you don't understand, listeners, what expanding we need for Drag Race, it means we need our trans sisters on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that means. And we're leaving them out completely.
And more, you know, there's so many, what, you know, I think like the theme of Dragnificent, what we tried to share with these people we met was that drag is for everybody.
Yeah.
Drag for me, and I think for Dusty too, has always been a form of expression. And like Dusty said, it's enabled him to be whatever he wants to be, whatever he wants to put forward. And so I think the point is drag can be that for you and you and you, like it's really for anyone. And there are many different kinds of people who do it and do it very well. And so it would be great to see more complete representation on Drag Race.
And speaking of representation, how do you, both of you, generally rate LGBTQ plus representation in all of entertainment today? I mean, there's always talk about how far we've come, and yes, there's still so much further to go. How do you guys rate it?
I mean, I think definitely in our entertainment spotlight, we have moved past the farces that we were in the 90s and early 2000s. Like, we're all not Jack and from Will and Grace or Will or, you know, and I feel like entertainment has taken the step to tell true stories and real stories of our community instead of, well, I mean, that's also not true because they did put out a Stonewall that was not right.
Right. Oh, my God. Mm. Oh, my God.
Mm. I didn't even see it. Yeah.
It was a disgrace.
Yeah. Don't see it.
Yeah, we've definitely... We've come a long way, and we still have further to go, and that's why we're so grateful for organizations like GLAAD, who are, you know, fighting the good fight and making sure that our community is fairly and accurately represented in the media. Mm-hmm.
What's coming up next for you guys? Where can we see you perform? I know we can't see you perform just yet, when it happens. When we can.
You may not be able to catch us on the stage anytime soon, but if you have True TV, Alexis and I are actually competing on a new game show.
Oh!
What's it called?
It's called Hot Ones.
Oh,
and we're eating hot wings with like the hottest hot sauce ever on it and answering trivia questions for $25,000.
Okay. Nice.
Wow.
In full drag.
Oh, yes.
I love it.
And I'm telling you, it is a scream.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it is the hottest hot sauce I never want to encounter again. I got sick before we filmed and after the audition.
Oh. Literally, let me just tell you how this happens really fast. Alexis will call me up sometimes and be like, are you available Tuesday to go do this audition and drag? And I'll just be like, yeah. And this is what happened. She asked me if I was available. I'll be there. She did not give me any details, and I did not ask details at all. Wow. So we go to this thing, and we're sitting down there, and we're like filling out these waivers. And then they have EMTs walk out and give us a talking to before the audition. And I am like, what are you getting us into? And it was like, yeah, you're going to eat the hottest hot sauce on earth, and we're going to film you in drag doing it.
Oh, my God.
How that goes.
Did you come out a hot mess?
Hopefully you got paid well for that damage to your esophagus.
You have to tune
in and see.
Okay.
And
when will it premiere? Do we know?
I know the first episode of season two, we're in season two, is coming out July 14th.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
But I don't know for the first episode or not.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll keep an eye out.
We'll definitely keep an eye out.
All right, so before we wrap up, I've got one question for Alexis and then one for Dusty. Alexis, you are wearing a shirt that says Judy, and this is a podcast where we talk about film and TV and whether we loved it or hate it. So Renee's Judy, what did you think?
Oh, shit. I think that's our answer.
Ashamed!
Renee's a great actor. She looked the part. The scene work was phenomenal. I think it was a grave mistake to have her sing.
Mm. Okay, that's fair.
I know that the movie was about Judy when her voice was going, but it was like one of the greatest voices on the planet that was going, not like Renee Zellweger's voice.
Uh-huh, okay.
And the first scene in the movie was a throwback with Mr. Mayor, and he was talking to little Judy about her voice. It made the movie implausible for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't believe this part of the story at all. So for me,
I haven't seen it yet.
For me, that was the film's shortcoming, but I thought it was a beautiful, beautifully acted performance, a beautifully shot film, but man, what a downer.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
And Dusty, what is your favorite drag performance in a movie of all time? Because we talked about this right before segueing.
Favorite drag performance of a movie of all time? Oh, God, I don't know. Probably. John Leguizamo in Tu Wong Fu.
Yes.
We talked about Tu Wong Fu.
We talked about Tu Wong Fu, yes. I
can never say his last name.
Leguizamo, like you got it.
Leguizamo. Yeah. He's the best. That was iconic, hilarious, my favorite. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
And similarly, we have to tip our hat to Priscilla for, like, fierce paving the way.
Yes, Priscilla.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Love talking to you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
All right, everybody. I think that is our show. Thank you so much for checking us out. Episode 97, episode 98 will be coming to you in just a couple weeks. Remember our little friend Earl, E-R-L, that is Engage. Engage with us on social, review us on iTunes, and listen to us on addthistierlist.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jay, Allie, and
Greg,
for all your support. I was like, wait, are we missing somebody? We lost
Sabrina. Thank you.
But thank you, Sabrina, for all the work you did.
Yes. And thank you, Henry Ravello, for our great guests.
Yeah, we'll catch you on the flip side.
Yeah, more to talk about next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Michael Simono, that's actually my last name. That's not his. Let me start that over. Let me look it up, what his last name is. Hold on. Da, 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 da.